Thank you all for being here tonight, to say the least. We're thankful that you're part of this program. We're glad to announce to you that we've had 29 different young people to be a part of our Vacation Bible School during this week. We've had over 20 of them full-time people with us in every way during the course of the week. Hal, you see a compliment here. All right. That will come necessary for some time. For me, too. But I won't do that one. Right there. Good to have you all here, and say the least. Our regular Bible school program is at 9:30 on Sunday morning. And, of course, we encourage all of our young people to come back, be a part of that with us on a day-to-day basis. We normally have about 10, and we have some of that 10 to be present with us on Bible school program. So to have 29 to visit with us and be a part of this has been a great invitation time that you've extended to them, and they've accepted, and they have come to be a part of it, each one of our services. We're glad for that. Stephan Dickerson opened us up on Sunday with the gospel preaching that's done. You'll find these particular lessons still available to you on our website, Crockett MS Church of Christ website. Get a copy of the bulletin that you have there in the foyer that's free of charge to you. And you'll see on the front the address for our website. And Crockett MS Church of Christ is a website. All of his lessons and all of Hal's up to this point in time tonight have been listed there as well. Tonight will be the study Brother Johnson will lead us in regard to Cornelius, a Gentile, the first Gentile among us convert. And as a result of that conversion of Cornelius in the unique way in which God wished to do that, we see that he was converted the same way that the people of the Jews on the day of Pentecost were converted. What a blessing it is to see all of that information with us in front of us. We're glad to have you again tonight with us, to say the least. We don't have any other detailed announcements. Do we need to make any announcements further that you mentioned tonight? Other than after service tonight, stay around with us and be a part of our social, our ice cream social, which has been so famous. Don't let us just consume it. Come and be with us and enjoy that tonight. Anything else? I've asked Brother David, if he would, to lead us in a word of prayer. And at the beginning of this service, if you would, please, and then Brother Tom will come and lead us in our singing tonight. Brother David, if you would stand and lead us in that word of prayer at this time.
Good to see everyone here tonight. Let's open our song books to number 276. 276. G Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day.
Songbooks at number 687.
6:8-7 will be the song of invitation after Brother Howell's lesson. And then let's turn to number 402. Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the skies. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise.
We don't know all that was said, but we know some things that were said. And we know that he believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. But we know that because of the question he asked Philip previous to what Philip told him to do. He said, "See, here's water. What hindereth me to be baptized?" And Philip answered, "If thou believest, thou mayest." And then we find that they both went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. What a great lesson that was. Then the great persecutor of the church, who did much evil and harm to the body of Christ. He was on his way up to Damascus to bring Christians back, to bind them and to persecute them. He had already witnessed the stoning of what we like to refer to as the first Christian martyr, Stephen. Stood by and held their garments. No doubt he was a very sincere man, but he was wrong. Ananias was sent to preach to him, and he preached to him. And he told Saul, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." That brings us to the last in this series. There are other conversions in Acts, but the one that I chose for tonight is that of Cornelius. Up to this point, the outreach had been somewhat limited. It had spread through Judea and Galilee and Samaria. But other than the Samaritans, who were half Jewish, it had gone only to the Jews. With the conversion of Cornelius and his household, we like to refer to them as the first Gentile converts. And from that point on, we have the spread of the gospel into all the world, that all might hear and know the truth. Let's turn our Bibles to the 11th chapter. Well, we want to look at the 10th chapter, and then the 11th chapter. The 10th chapter is Luke's description of what took place with Cornelius, whereas the 11th chapter is Peter's actual description of what he did as he preached to this man, and a defense to his fellow Jews of why he had preached the gospel to Cornelius. Look at verse 1 of chapter 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, an Italian, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. Now note verse 2, a devout man. He was a believer in God. One that feared God with all his heart. Wouldn't it be wonderful that all folks today had a reverent fear of God?
Amen.
Which gave much alms to the people. He was a benevolent man. And prayed to God always. Now, as you look at that, you say, That's a good Christian. He's a saved individual. But is that the case? If that was the case, why was Peter told to preach to him? And why was Cornelius told to go send for Peter? If he's already saved. But he wasn't. He needed to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now Peter had already been given the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But you know, it's hard for some people sometimes to change. They kind of shy away from what they need to do. It's hard to reach out to others. And because of that, we may have lost a lot of folks over the years. But Peter saw a vision. You remember that vision? This is why these folks were being sent by Cornelius to go get Peter, who was in Joppa. On the morrow, verse 9, as they went on their journey and drew nigh to the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the ninth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they were made ready, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth. Well, in that sheet was all kinds of four-footed beasts, wild beasts, creeping things, and fowls of the air. And that voice said, kill, slay, and eat. But he said, not so. For I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. Now notice, verse 15, and the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God has cleansed, call not thou common. We all need to learn that lesson. Everyone around us needs to learn that God sent his Son to die for all mankind. And through obedience to him, we all can have our sins washed away. Amen. By the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, they went on and continued. And Peter, following this vision, goes with the messengers that were sent from Cornelius. He goes right along with them. The Spirit had told him to go, and he goes. Continued on down to about verse 24, and I like this. And the morrow, after they'd entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them. And notice, had called together his kinsmen and near friends. Cornelius not only wanted to know for himself, but he wanted others to know. His kinsmen and near friends. You know, how many of us try to get our family members and our friends to come to Bible study or to worship or to a gospel meeting so that they might learn and hear the truth? Here Peter arrives at Cornelius' house and he finds these folks gathered together. Now, Peter was still a little apprehensive about things because in verses 29, he says, "Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore, for what intent have you sent for me?" And Cornelius said, "4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. And at the 9th hour prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing." You notice what time of day was it? It was the 9th hour. What time of day did Peter go into that trance? The 9th hour. Same time. And said, "Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God." Let me tell you something. God doesn't forget the things that we do. And somehow, some way, he's going to get that message to us if we surely are desiring to know it and will do it. He says he told me to go to send to Joppa and call Simon, whose surname is Peter. Verse 33, "I immediately sent to thee."
Yes, sir.
Now verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth. Peter remembers all that was said. He remembers the time frame of everything. And Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. And in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." Well, he continues on preaching and teaching so that that man might know the will of God. In the process of it all, verse 40 says, 4:4 says, "When Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they of the circumcised which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost." I said earlier that Peter was somewhat apprehensive because he quite hadn't understood all that he needed to do. He didn't understand fully that the gospel was sent for everybody. But when these events occurred, it could not help but see that the Gentiles were deserving of salvation as much as any. When these events occurred, Peter said, "Can any man," verse 47, "forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. As Peter began to speak, the Spirit falls upon them, showing Peter that the gospel was for all, and they deserved to hear that. They heard that sermon, and Peter commands them to be baptized. What's some lessons we can learn from this? What are lessons for us? Of course, the time of the miraculous ability in speaking in tongues came to an end. And 1 Corinthians chapter 13 tells us that those things would come to an end. We don't have that today, but we still have the gospel message. We have things that was recorded so that we can believe. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We can obey what they did. But back to the point. Many people believe that if you are religious, if you do good, mind your business, stay out of jail, you're going to go to heaven. I'll never forget hearing a gospel preacher years ago saying, "Being good may keep you out of jail, but it won't keep you out of hell." Now, what do you mean by that? Being good. And we need to be good. I'm not saying don't be good. But it takes more than just being good. You have to be obedient to the Christ, the Son of the living God. I think if you go to church, and we need to go, we need to assemble with saints every time they assemble. Amen. If we do good, you have a hope of heaven. Somehow, some folks think by doing that they have earned the right to enter heaven. But no one of us can earn our salvation. That's not to discount the necessity of obedience to Christ. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 5, verses 8, "Now, though he were a son," talking about Jesus, "yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." Obedience is necessary. Cornelius was a man who was a devout man, feared God with his whole household, gave alms generously, and he prayed to God always. But he still, now let me underscore this, he still needed to be told words by which you and all your household will be saved. In other words, he needed to hear the gospel. Being religious isn't what saves us. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary's cross for your sins and my sins that saves us. And we reach that blood when we're baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. God's desire is that all should be saved. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's you, that's me, that's everybody. Well, if that's the case, why is not everybody saved? Because it's a two-way street. God has done all his part, but we must do our part. We must do our part. We must believe. We must accept. You know, I might tell you, I bet not do it. I'll do it. But I'm not going to use a lot of money. Being cheap tonight. God's not cheap. But I'm cheap. Tonight. Here's a dollar bill. Mike Martin, if I say, you can have this dollar bill, but you got to come up here and receive it. Is he going to get it?
If you say it, he's going to.
If
he
comes.
If he comes. Mike Martin, here's a dollar bill. It's yours. If you receive it.
If you receive it.
I'll throw that out for a dollar.
Yeah.
I bet you'd have come quicker if it'd been more.
That's right. Yes.
You see my point? You gotta receive it. If you're not willing to receive it, to accept it, do the things that God has said for you to do, you're not gonna get it. It's that plain. It's that simple. Mike didn't do anything to earn that. He just came up and accepted it. It was a gift.
Yes.
Clearly, it's the blood of Christ that saves us. Another lesson that we need to reinforce here is that God is no respecter of persons. Jesus loves the little children. All the children of the world. Red, yellow, black, or white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the children of the world. We need to know that lesson. And we need to believe that and show it to the world. God desires all men to be saved. Back to 1 Timothy chapter 2. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our Lord, of our God and Savior. 1 Timothy 2, verse 3. Who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. God wants everybody to be saved. He's not predestined certain ones to be saved and certain ones to be lost. God wants all to be saved. But it's necessary that we obey. Now, the final point. You remember Cornelius was told to send to Joppa to get Peter. And Peter would tell him what you must do. Acts 10, verse 6. He would tell him words by which ye shall be saved. Acts 11, verse 14. From this and what we've seen in other conversions, Cornelius was not saved until he heard the words preached to him. You don't ever find a person in the Bible being saved by a direct operation from God. Always in the New Testament, a man preached that message to someone else. People heard it, believed it, and obeyed. Cornelius was not saved until he until he obeyed what he was told to do. And Cornelius and his household, when they believed and were baptized into Christ, they were saved from their sins. Oh, there's so many great examples in the Bible. Let's just, as I said earlier in one of the lessons, one of the sermons, I don't remember which one, let's let this book guide us in what we preach and what we teach. You know, in the book of John, oh, not the book of John, but one of the epistles of John. There we're told, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, how we try it? We take this book and examine what's said. And if it's true, obey it. If it's not, then reject it. Let me tell you what the Bible says right now that people are to do to be saved from their sins. You can look it up for yourself. I would encourage you to. Because I want you to accept what I say. Accept what the Bible says. Jesus said in John the 8th chapter, the 24th verse, except ye believe that I am he. In other words, believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that he came to earth, lived among men, died on the cruel cross for your sins, was resurrected, ascended back to heaven, is now reigning at the right hand of God. Except you believe that, you'll die in your sins. You got to believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. But you got to repent. You can't stay living like the devil. Now, I know some folks don't have much to repent of. They hadn't gone out into the world and lived. And they still have a young heart and a tender heart, and they obey early. And they stay faithful throughout their years. But we all are sinners. When we reach that age of accountability, we're all in need of salvation. And Jesus said, I tell you nay. That's in Luke chapter 13. And it gives two examples there of folks they thought were the worst of all kinds of sinners. You know, that's the way we think. I'm not too bad a sinner. But they thought of these, Robert, as the worst of all. And Jesus turned to them and said, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Talks about that tower that fell and those that perished. I tell you nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Luke 13:3 and again in verse 5. You know, it's repeated as though Luke is emphasizing it. Or Jesus is emphasizing it. Luke gives the recording of it. As we look at the accounts in the book of Acts of individuals, what they did to be saved, not every single thing is mentioned every time. But we put them all together. You got to hear, you got to believe, you got to repent, you got to confess. The Ethiopian eunuch says, see, here's water. What hinders me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest, thou mayest. And he then made the good confession. They believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Matthew 10:32. Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before the Father who is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I deny before the Father who is in heaven. And we've got to be baptized. In each one of these accounts of conversion that we've studied these past 4 days, each and every time, into Christ for the remission of sins. Salvation always followed the act of baptism. When Saul of Tarsus had Ananias come to him, Ananias says, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Saul still had his sins. They had to be baptized in obedience. In that obedient call, he washed away his sins. These have been plain, simple lessons. I don't think it's been too plain. I hope it hasn't been too simple. But sometimes we can make them so fancy that nobody can understand. And we need to preach it. As Robert, I may be accrediting this to the wrong person, but I believe that this is the right one. Brother Hardman said, boys, put it down. Put the feed down there where the calves can get it. Surely the cows will. Surely the cows will. You need to obey the gospel. Have you been thinking about it? Why wait? Why delay? Why not obey tonight? And to go home with the hope of eternal life. If you've obeyed the gospel in times past, but you've allowed yourself to become worldly and worldly-minded and drift all so far away, why not come back? Come now as together we stand.